You're listening to Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Eddie Pascal and producer Trav here in the Beat Lab at 1220 Harbor Bay Parkway. And we welcome you to our first off-season edition of Upon Further Review, our first 2020 edition of Upon Further Review. Our first everything, I guess, of Upon Further Review. We are excited. We're shifting gears a little bit in the coming months. Obviously, we are going to talk about the silver and black, everything that pertains to them. But we're going to start looking ahead just a little bit to 2020. And brothers and sisters, it is going to be a lot of fun. We got draft talk coming up. We got free agency talk coming up. We've got a shiny new stadium in the desert. Talk coming up. We got it all. It is going to be a busy few months, and that doesn't even throw in the fact that we are headed to Miami in just a few weeks for the Super Bowl. It is going to be bonkers. We have a lot of things going on. The tent gods have been good to us, and we just got to keep feeding that beast, brother. So as I said, we are coming back every Thursday. So very similar to during the season, but the episodes are going to be a little bit different. We'll probably have some guests mixed in here and there, but it's going to be a lot of me. It's going to be a lot of Trav, a lot of KMM, a lot of our crew, a lot of our talking heads, our buddies, really, coming in, talking shop, talking Raiders football, and having a lot of fun. And we're going to get you guys involved, too, in the next couple months. We tried that to great success. When we asked you about your Coliseum memories, you all delivered in a big way. So we're going to figure out some fun, interesting ways to keep you guys involved in the program, because there's no program without you. I listen to it. Trav listens to it. But come on. We need you guys to be a part of this, and you will be a part of this in 2020. That is a promise. So what are we doing today? I'm glad you asked. We are going to first do our transaction, things of that nature, because there's a lot of housekeeping to take care of. That doesn't change in or out of season. But from there, we are going to transition. We're going to welcome in the great KMM, who will be with us for much of the program today. And we are going to get into a six-pack. We're going to crack our first six-pack of 2020, baby. And we are going to talk about the biggest off-season questions surrounding this team, whether that's free agency, roster stuff, draft stuff, whatever it is. We're just going to pick six of them. Figure out what is kind of in our head, what we need to know, and we're just going to talk about it. And then from there, we will get into victory formation and finish out strong to very strong, as we typically do. But as I said, before KMM comes into the lab, we do have our transactions, because they never stop. Death, taxes, and transactions, Trev and Maya, that's what they say. I'm pretty sure that's the saying. So, since the last time we talked to you in 2019, what has happened with this roster? Well, on January 3, we signed running back William Stanbeck to a reserve future contract. Several days later, we signed old pal Dylan Maben to a reserve future contract. Then on 1-7, we signed running back Mark Thompson and linebacker Nick Usher to, you guessed it, reserve future contracts. So, without any further ado, we welcome in the great KMM. And I'll give him the full intro later, but you know who he is. And KMM, how you feeling about this six-pack, brother? You feeling good?
Feeling good and feeling all right. Yeah.
Excellent. Shout out Revolution.
Yes. So should we just dive into it?
Let's do it, man.
You want to go first? You want me to go first?
I think you know where my mind's going to go immediately out of the gate.
All right. Well, then let's rock and roll.
Off-season questions, right?
Our six-pack of off-season questions. Travi, do we have the technology to hit a beer crack sound? Can we do that? Excellent. So crack a
room. That'd be hot.
Crack away, KMM.
All right. First question.
What are we drinking, by the way?
Oh, I know you're Tecate, man, but that doesn't suit me. How about – I know we both like Rolling Rock.
I sure do.
There we go.
Let's crack a rock, baby. What do you got?
Do the Raiders keep all three third-round picks?
Ooh.
I say no.
You know what? I'm going to say no, too. When you have that kind of capital in the third round, and third-round picks are not throwaway
nothing to scoff
nonsense
at.
Picks, right? When you get picks like that, and you have so many, you can wheel and deal.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's a lot of needs on the roster. A lot less than a year ago this time.
Certainly.
But with 3 third-round picks, they're also bunched together. You know, you got to separate that a little bit. You got to give yourself a little more variety of where you're picking. Whether Coach Gruden and General Manager Mike Mayock use one of those picks to maybe go trade for a linebacker, I don't know. Trade up to get in the second round. I think there's a lot of possibility there. I just can't imagine keeping 3 third-round picks.
It does seem a little excessive, right? And just
I love that we have them.
Yeah, oh, it's great. Because, look, let's be honest, and people that are a lot smarter than you and I have told us repeatedly that there's a lot of skill in the draft, right? Guys like Double M make their money evaluating players, and you make the best decision on what you think a guy's going to be, right? But a lot of it is luck. So a lot of it is just keeping your fingers crossed that this guy has the work ethic that you think he has, that he's going to stay healthy, that all these things are going to fall in line, and he's going to be the kind of player that you want him to be. But to kind of hedge your bets a little bit, you want as much draft capital as you can precisely for reasons like this.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting draft. There's no doubt about it. A very exciting one, though. You know how I feel about the draft.
You are the draft. You've claimed to.
Yeah, I don't like Mr. Goodell, but
No one does.
The NFL and I were in cahoots. The draft is my baby.
And let's not forget. We were talking about the 3rd-round picks, and we talked about how those aren't throwaway picks. So
no,
the Raiders
they're
didn't
not 6th-round or 7th-round.
The Raiders didn't have any 3rd-rounders last year, so we didn't pick a guy in the 3rd. You know what we did in the 4th?
Max Crosby. Foster Moreau.
Foster Moreau. Isaiah Johnson, who we still have a lot of upside with. And then we stole Hunter Renfrow in the 5th. So the value is there. And Double M has shown, with what he did last year, this guy gets the draft.
I've told you time and time again, the fact that we have Mike Mayock makes me so excited, so happy, confident, reassuring, to know that we have a mastermind. Not that Gruden isn't a mastermind, but a GM that's a mastermind. Look, no disrespect to Mr. McKenzie, but I think Mike Mayock has found a little more success in his first year.
In the early goings of the draft,
yes.
Certainly.
Not to say that Reggie didn't find good picks like Jalen Richard, DeAndre Washington.
Obviously, Khalil and Derek, those are the two big ones. But
sure, but
Gabe, let's not forget Big Gabe.
Yep, Gabe, but
I'm with you. I mean, when you look at the production that this rookie class had last year, from Hunter Renfrow to Max to Josh Jacobs to A.J. Cole, who am I missing? Alec Ingold, Trayvon. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. That's Double M and Gruden.
I know.
You know, when you look at that production, we haven't seen that kind of production from young guys early in their career in a long time in this building.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to say that Double M will get the AP GM of the Year award.
Yeah, Executive of the Year, yeah.
Yeah, but he certainly deserves it.
He needs to be in the conversation.
Yeah. I don't know who they'll give it to, but it'll probably go to John Lynch.
Everything's gone to the Niners this year. It's ridiculous.
It'll probably go to John Lynch.
By a quick aside before we get into our second question of the Sixer, did you happen to see the, I think it was Sporting News put out their,
Sporting News.
Well, I know. I got it emailed to me from one of our friends in the building today. And you look at the awards, and it literally should just be like the Niners awards. Coach of the Year. Executive of the Year. Comeback Player of the Year. Defensive Player of the Year.
Richard Sherman?
Jimmy G.
What?
That's what I'm saying, man. It really is silly. It's silly.
There's no way Jimmy G should be Comeback Player of the Year.
Listen, man.
It's a joke. It's a joke.
It's asinine.
It is asinine.
Look, they're going to – it's like this with the NBA, too. The MVP goes to whoever – like, the fact that most games won as a part of the conversation – is low-key annoying. Like, obviously, it should be on a winning team that the award goes to to a player.
I love the Doves, but I don't think they got any MVP players on a 9-30 team.
No, but
I don't care if you're putting up 45 points a night.
Yeah, it's just the hot topic of discussion, man. It's ridiculous to me. But because look at who else should win Comeback Player of the Year. Maybe Darren Waller.
Yeah, who actually came back from actually something
severe.
You know, that wasn't a bum knee.
Yeah, I'd...
The man kicked addiction right in the face.
I don't want to make it sound like we're biased just because Darren Waller should win the award, even though he should. But there are plenty of other people I can think of who are deserve. Like Richard Sherman.
Yeah, Sherman.
If you
daddy.
Want to talk about anybody on the Niners.
Yeah.
Everyone cast him aside, threw him on an island of misfit toys, and guy goes to – he gets an all-pro, and he's going to the Pro Bowl. Not to, you know, praise Rich Sherman.
No, but you real recognize real, right?
Yeah, I mean
– you got to give kudos to a man who
– Jimmy G. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, it's sickening. Sickening. Well, I could use a beer. So, yep. Crack this one, Travi. Question two, and I'm glad you kind of segued into this, Kyle. More likely to win their rookie of the year. So, offensive or defensive. Josh or Mad Max? Who's more likely to win? I'm not saying who deserves to win more. You know how in this sick NFL world we live in, who's more likely to win?
Yeah, I'm going to make a couple points. I think Josh is more likely to win than Max. I think he's also the most deserving offensive rookie. Not the AJ Brown is bald.
Had a heck of a year.
And
heck
I know NFL pundits will factor in the fact the Titans.
They beat the Patriots.
And yeah, they're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And yeah, and it AJ obviously Josh got hurt towards the end of the year. AJ Brown towards the end of the year started going on a tear. So it's all what's most recent in their mind,
yeah,
which is also
bias.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, a lot of recency bias.
So I think Josh is more – I think he has a good chance of winning it for sure. I think he's more likely than Max only because, like we were just talking about, Nick Bosa will probably win it even though Max had more sacks, had the same amount of tackles, I believe, in the same ballpark, and he had 4 forced fumbles.
And – this is kind of – I agree with you 100%. Literally everything that you said is what I had in my head. The Niners are the darlings of the NFL this year. There's no way they're going to give it to Mad Max over Bosa. Josh 100% deserves to win the award. I think he is more likely to win the award. He is most deserving to win the award. Couldn't agree with you more. The only thing that I want to add to that is – and this is kind of like a weird roundabout compliment to Max, but you look at that defense that Bosa plays on. Joe Bosa's defense that he plays on is stacked.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He is in a lot better position routinely to get after the quarterback, to put himself in positions to go make impact plays.
They have 4 top 10 picks on their defensive line.
Yeah, and God bless them that they stockpiled those picks and they figured as an organization what was important to them, what they wanted to build from, and that's what they did. But we're just not there. I think we can all collectively agree that this Raiders defense is just not at the level of this Niners defense.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with that.
So Max is doing more things. Like if you're a defensive coordinator, or excuse me, an offensive coordinator, and you're scheming against us, you know you got to take away Max, right?
Yeah.
What else do you have to take away on that defensive line? What else on that defensive line in 2019 really, really scared you?
That you have to double? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Cleland obviously showed a lot of potential. He's talented. He'll be a good pass rusher in the future. But Max, he had 10 sacks. He was a force to be reckoned with almost every game.
Yeah,
that effort is unbelievable. And to be honest with you, not to take a shot at Max by any means, but when we drafted him, like Eastern Michigan.
No one thought. Look,
yeah, I didn't.
I think Max would be the first person to tell you, and we would tell you, that when he sat down in the studio for the first time, I wasn't looking at him. I was like, yo, this guy's going to get 10 sacks.
Yeah, no way.
No.
Out of the gate. Yeah, I don't know. If he's not even considered a candidate for Defensive Rookie of the Year, that'll tell you everything you need to know about the NFL and their award system.
Yeah.
Amongst other things.
But, yeah, I mean, we're in agreement. I think Josh is more likely to win. I think he deserves to win the award over A.J. Brown, over Pat Daddy Mahomes, or not Pat Daddy, Kyler. Whoever it is, I mean, I think the thing that's going to – that the only knock on Josh is that he wasn't able to go 16. But the inverse of that is that if you he had a bum shoulder for 3/4 of the year, half the year, and if you think about that and he still put up those stupid numbers, I don't know. That has to count for something.
Yeah, it's a great debate. It's a great
sure
debate.
Sure is. One that I'm sure we'll be disappointed by in 3 weeks. But
unfortunately. My next question.
On, yes.
It's again no secret that we had a lot of turnover at the defensive backs position this year.
Yeah.
A lot of injuries right from the jump with John
Week
Abram.
One. Yeah.
My question is, what do the Raiders do with Carl Joseph? because Carl Joseph showed at the end of 2018 that he really grasped Paul Gunther's system.
He got it.
And this year, he made a lot of great plays, was a veteran presence back there, a real leader of the defensive
clinched
unit.
That game against the Chargers, I believe. Yeah.
On Thursday Night Football. Yep. Carl he's been in one of my underrated players the last 2 years or so because I feel like he doesn't get enough credit. But with his injury, with Daryl Worley seeing more time, like being a hybrid role, LaMarcus Joyner got back there a little bit, Eric Harris. There's a lot of moving pieces there that there's no real set in stone. These are going to be our two guys back there. So I don't know. I think Carl Joseph is a good player for sure, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on, not to be GM or
no,
assume.
Of course not. Well, to give a little background to the people at home, Carl's scheduled to hit free agency this year. So on March 18th at 1:00, he will be a free agent, free to test the market, do whatever you know he wants to do, whatever in his best interest personally and business wise. But he is an intriguing guy for a lot of reasons. Really, for everything that you said, he's been here now. For 5 years, I believe. Four years for Carl. And I don't think there's any denying that Carl is an NFL safety. He is a starting safety. Now, the question that you have to ask is looking to 2020, 2021, like kind of what's your vision for that position group, right? I think in a perfect world, you have Abram back there, ready to rock in 2020, healthy, motivated, hungry. What does that other safety position look like? Is it Carl? Is it E. Harris? I think E. Harris is on this team in 2020.
Yeah.
99.999%. I mean, he really made the most out of his opportunities in 2019.
Yeah.
Thursday night was his game. You mentioned Worley. He's got a little versatility back there. LJ is a safety by trade. But I think collectively, Gunther and Gruden have said they like him playing in the nickel a little more. Taking away that slot receiver. Where does Carl figure in? I personally would love to see Carl back here in 2020. I would love that. I like Carl a lot personally. I like him as a player. I think having guys like Carl in locker rooms, NFL locker rooms, is only a net positive.
And I think he's handled being a free agent this year with grace.
Incredible.
Yeah, anytime he spoke to the media and they asked him, you know, Carl, do you want to be a Raider? Do you want to come back? He's like, yeah, I love this organization. I would love to continue being a Raider. And just the way he's handled his business, he's not constantly making jokes like,
chirping.
Where's my extension?
Yeah, he's not chirping. He was a pro. He went about his business. He was here after the injury,
yep.
Which I think says a lot too. Some of the stuff that people don't see. Carl was around. He
was
at 12:20.
For the most part, there's a lot of athletes that once they get injured and they're done for the year,
deuces,
they're gone.
Deuces. Carl was not that guy. If I were to guess what happens with Carl, though, excuse me, Carl's going to test the market, right? I mean, he has to.
Yeah, you got to weigh your options.
Exactly. You 100% have to weigh his options. So I think he's going to – and he'll have interest for sure. I mean, Carl was a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. He was a stud at West Virginia. And he's had stretches – I think really the stretch before he got hurt was probably the best we've seen him play his entire career here. So he's gonna have options. I think what it's really gonna come down to is just the situation. And I would imagine, and obviously you and I don't know anything, so we're not, you know, saying, oh, this is what's gonna happen. But I would be shocked if we didn't at least make some overture to him about coming back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and then a lot of it probably just comes down to dollars and cents.
Yeah, we're not gonna let him walk. I mean, we'll do our best to probably try and retain him for sure, but a great question because he's a man that can play really well.
Yeah, and I mean, and then it comes down to how you want to build your roster, right? And how you want, like, I think Carl's probably a starting safety.
Yeah, he is.
So is E. Harris.
Yeah.
So is John Abram.
Eric Harris is for sure the most underrated player on this team.
Oh, I think so.
Defense, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, so is John Abram. You know, then you kind of get into that question of how much of your salary cap, how much are you going to allocate to the safety position when you got other guys you got to take care of? And this team's got a lot of holes. We've talked about that.
Yep.
So you're kind of in this kind of beautiful mind situation where you're moving everything around and you're trying to figure out how are we going to make this work. So.
And if you know what works, like Carl, when he was back there, helped a ton. He played well. Do you want to go on this ring around the rosy where you're constantly churning out players at safety, trying to find the guy when you found a guy who plays well, understands the system, and knows the guys around him? I mean,
it's a great question. I mean, there's something to be said for that familiarity, right?
Yeah.
With Carl and with Carl's knowledge of the system and what Gunther wants him to do and all that. And I don't know. It's a very intriguing, it's an intriguing question. It really is. Like I said, I personally selfishly would love to have Carl back here in 2020. I think it would be a net positive for this team to have him back here in 2020. But, you know, it remains to be seen.
Yeah. Lead us into question four, sir.
Well, I'm glad we kind of touched on this one. The segues are just, we're rocking and rolling today.
The synergy.
The synergy is high. High levels of synergy. I think I know where you're going to go with this. So take Carl out of the equation. But I was going to ask you, when you look at our list of impending free agents, which situation intrigues you the most? And I think you kind of tease it with Carl, but taking Carl aside, which of our guys really, you're kind of curious how it's going to play out?
Honestly, I am, thank you for providing this. I already have an answer in my mind, but I just want to double check this list here that you so kindly printed out. Deion Jordan's a good one. He's a good one. He played really well during his time here. He had that batted pass that Mo intercepted. DeAndre Washington's a good one. Benson Mayoa really performed well. There's a lot. Daryl Ward. There's a lot of good picks here. But truthfully, the one that intrigues me and I'm just curious about, Vontaze Burfict.
Oh, I knew you were going to say it.
Vontaze Burfict. Dude, Vontaze was great with us, for one. I personally really liked Vontaze.
Yeah, I think he got a bad rap for being like a bad dude before he got here, but in our limited interactions with him, he was great. He was nothing but good with us. And
he helped me with that Madden feature we
did. He sure did.
He always showed me kindness. I'll be the first one to go to bat for Vontaze.
You and Gunther jumping on the table.
Yeah, he's young still. He's going to be 29, I think, sometime this year in 2020. I mean, he showed that he could still play, for sure. It's just the NFL has this target on his head.
They have a vendetta against the man.
Yeah, and it's not right.
Now,
it's
has he done some things that I'm sure he wished he hadn't? Sure, but
that hit, though,
that was weak. It was weak.
On Jack Doyle, week three. Slow-mo is helpful, but it honestly makes things look so much worse than they actually are. If you watch that hit in real time, like, I think all of us in the press box when he made the hit was like, oh, wow. But that was just like a good hit.
I remember being in Indy, and it could be that because the Indianapolis press box is about on the 95th level of that stadium. But I remember that play in particular, and I didn't even have a reaction after I saw the hit.
You thought it was just a good play.
Yeah, I just thought it was boom, and we're on to the next.
Yeah, but then you slow it down.
But then, of course.
And it's like, Jack Doyle got up fine. He wasn't laying down on the ground. He wasn't like slow walking around.
Yeah, but to play devil's advocate, though, just because a guy gets it, you know, I understand, like, I understand the need and the desire to protect the players. I get that. But in this instance, like you're saying, I don't know. I just didn't see anything there in real time that I was like, oh, that was yikes.
It seems remarkable to me, though, because on that play, if you look at the way that Vontaze is coming in to hit Jack Doyle, initially, he's going for the hips, and Jack Doyle drops down, right? It's amazing to me that the NFL, for all of these hits that happen, there are plenty of instances like this where it's helmet-to-helmet contact because the receiver drops down and lowers their head.
I think it's hard. It's hard because, like I said, I understand the league's position in wanting to be overly protective of the players, and I think that's not unfortunately, but I think that's going to be the norm going forward, and I think it kind of should be, right? Where these guys, you and I have seen firsthand how banged up some of these dudes can get. So I think there has to be an emphasis on player safety. But I also think that in situations like Vontaze's, or I'm sure there's dozens across the league, when you have, you know, fines, penalties, suspensions, whatever it is, there has to be an element of malice there, right? Because these plays are coming so quickly. It is literally like bang, bang is like not even a fair equivalent.
Yeah.
These things are happening so fast that it's hard to say that, oh, Vontaze or player X was going for his head, when really, like you said, maybe he's going for the hips, maybe he's going for the targeting, maybe he's going for the chest, maybe he's going whatever. But because of something that happens in a millisecond, now the chest becomes the head, the hip becomes the neck, you know, it's something like that. So when you're going through and you're looking back on these situations, to me, there has to be a clear evidence of I want to do something to hurt this guy.
Exactly. That's the point about this hit, is that it was such a gray area. If you watch it, he's not malicious.
But you know what? In 2020 and in 2019, the gray area is always going to be to protect the player. So no defender, whoever it is ever going to get the benefit of the doubt.
No, but the punishment should be reflective
of the play. The punishment should
fit
the crime.
Yes.
The punishment should fit the crime.
If he 100% literally took off head first.
Yeah, if he launched
over the middle,
like a projectile, sure.
Yeah, exactly. But if it's the receiver's going down, but it doesn't look like he's going to go down, you never know.
I'm 100% agreeing with you. 100% I agree with you. The other thing that I think you have to think about if you were to bring Vontaze back, and like you said, I'd love to see him back in silver and black in 2020, is it going to be worth it that if he has another situation like he had in Indianapolis where he gets popped for the full year, and then your starting middle linebacker is gone?
I don't know. That's the million-dollar question, because, again, that'll come down to dollars and cents. You know, are you going to pay a guy who debatably could be out there for six games, or you don't know? I mean, and it's not like he's going to go out there looking to be like, I want to take somebody's head off. But like the Indianapolis game, all it takes is one weird gray area hit that the NFL views differently. And just because they, like you said, they have a vendetta against him, they're going to continue to lay down these ridiculous suspensions on him.
Yeah. Real quick before we get to the next question, I think the free agency one that intrigues me the most situation is the Jalen and D-Wash one.
Yeah.
Both dudes going to be free agents. Both guys that have proven to be starting running backs in the NFL. And I don't see a way that we can bring both of them back. And that breaks my heart. I would love for us to bring both of them back. But I feel like one of them is going to get a chance to become a starter. And they're just going to be like, yeah, I'm gonna take that shot. So I don't know. I mean, would I love in a perfect world for both those dudes to be back here and chopping it up with us in 4 months? 100%. And, you know, like Carl, teams are better when they have guys like Jalen and DeAndre on them.
Yeah.
But I just don't know. I think it's a tough one. I think it's going to be tough to bring both of those guys back. So I'm curious to see how that whole situation, that dynamic shakes out.
Knock on wood that they do.
Yeah.
But,
fingers crossed.
My final question for you, Eddie.
Are we number five already? My God.
We are. I'm happy that we've had very different questions, too. We don't have any of the same ones.
Yeah.
Which Pro Bowl alternate actually appears at the Pro Bowl? I ask because, you know, typically there are players in the playoffs who get Pro Bowl selections that aren't able to go because they're continuing in the postseason. The Chiefs and the Ravens will both have an opportunity to advance, which would put them in a weird spot in terms of the Pro Bowl.
Sure.
Both of those teams have Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews, both players in the way of Darren Waller. Darren Waller should have received the Pro Bowl nod over Mark Andrews.
Yeah, it's sickening. That's
but again, another winning team, so they gave it to him.
I get it.
And fan voting is stupid. That's another thing. But anyway, I think that – and Alec Ingold.
Yep, he sure did.
He was exceptional. No, undrafted rookie to Pro Bowl alternate who should be a Pro Bowler. Josh, given his injury, I doubt that he would go, but I wonder if Ingold or Darren Waller would be there.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. Excuse me. I think the most likely alternate, and I'm looking at our alternates right now. You forgot about Rich Incognito.
It's another good one.
Our four alternates, Josh Jacobs, Darren Waller, Rich Incognito, and Ingold. Or excuse me, Josh Jacobs, Waller, Incognito, and Ingold. The most likely to end up in Orlando, I'm going to say D-Wall. I'm going to say Darren. I think, and I say that because obviously the reasons you brought up with the Chiefs and the Ravens and all that, but the NFL very sneakily loves his story. So I think they are going to find a way to get him and his story, which is a great story, and I'm not making light of everything that he's overcome. But the NFL loves that. They are going to find a way, and he deserves it 100% too. They are going to find a way to make sure he's on that field.
He deserves to be, for sure. 1,100 yards, 90 receptions.
The offensive weapon for this team in 2019.
Yeah.
Through the air, obviously. Josh was the guy in the backfield, but he deserves it, man. I mean, really, they all – you could make – it's sickening that Josh isn't going to go. You know, he deserved to be in on the first ballot.
Yep.
D-Wall should have been in on the first ballot. Ingold, I mean, the fullback one is a little tough, but he certainly deserves it. And so does Rich Incognito, who had an incredible year, and he was rewarded with an extension because of that. But I think of those four, I'm going to go Darren, most likely to end up in Orlando in, what is it, 2.5, 3 weeks, something like that?
Yeah.
Camping World Stadium?
Week and a half, I
it?
Think, actually.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's wild. Be here before we know it.
Sure will.
Can't wait to see some of that tent.
Yeah. Oh, fire tent. Psst, fire tent.
Oh, yeah.
So my final question in the Sixer KMM, and this is going to change a lot. So I know that our answer today is probably going to be different than our answer next month, which will be different than the answer the following month. But sitting here on Jan 9, the Raiders currently own the number 12 and the number 19 pick in the 2020 NFL draft. Will they use both of those picks? Will they pick at 12 and 19?
I think they'll still have two first-round picks.
That wasn't the question, though.
No, they won't end up picking at 12 and 19. In my heart of hearts, I don't think they will. Let me tell you why, though. I'm just giving you the yes or no answer because that's what you asked for, but I have to give an explanation. I think it's weird because they're just far enough apart where you could pick there still, but I think they're also a little too close to pick there still. So I wonder if they'll move 19 back to get more picks. Or I wonder if they'll use one of the third rounders with the 12th pick to move up a couple spots. I don't know if they'll stay at 12 or 19. I think there's the opportunity for them to move up or move back and get more picks. It's a weird place to be, but there's a lot of really talented wide receivers in the first round.
Yeah, all these mocks that we've been looking at, it's like 7 or 8 wide receivers in the first round.
Exactly, and that's obviously one of our areas of need.
A huge need.
So you got Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb. There's tons of guys that you could go after that would probably be available at 12, but I don't know. I don't know. I would say no, they don't pick at 12 and 19.
And I would agree with you just because of a lot of the reasons you laid out where it's like there's just too many variables floating around right now.
Yeah.
Because like you said, I didn't even think about packaging a third with 12 to move up. You know, there's a lot of things that you can do. Do they fall in love with – I'm throwing this out there hypothetically. Do they fall in love with CeeDee Lamb? But CeeDee Lamb's not going to get past 9.
Exactly.
Can you – then does it make sense to move up to 9? Or do they fall in love equally with 3 wide receivers and they know one of them is going to be at 14 and a team wants to get up from 16 to 12. Like, there's a lot of things that could go on. Do you package 12 and 19 to move up to 7, hypothetically? Do you package 12 and 19 and a third to move up to 4? Like, there's just so much that can happen. So yeah. I'm going to say no, just like you. The Raiders will not pick at 12 and 19.
Excited to see what they do.
Yeah, it is going to be a funky, crazy, weird, and wild few months. So the first Sixer of 2020 in the books.
What so fast?
It did go so fast.
Or maybe it didn't. But I enjoyed it. It felt fast to me.
Yeah, it went at a good pace, I thought. The pacing. We always talk about the pacing, right? Got to stay on schedule.
Control the tempo.
I think we stayed ahead of the sticks on that one. There were no third and 13s on that draft, brother. But we finish off the episode, as we will continue to finish off the episodes, with victory formation. And Travis Maia, it's a new year, Travi. 2020, a huge year for this organization, a huge year for us personally, and allegedly a huge year for this podcast. So I must ask, first one of 2020, we got any sponsorship money coming in, baby?
We do not.
$0. So it's victory formation. Eddie Pascal, producer Trav, the great KMM, who's been with us for much of the episode. Now, KMM, we teased it last week. You hit the Twitter sticks.
I sure did.
To hit your born game of the year.
Yes. So I went back and I listened to all of our previous pods, and I tried to track down when we first began Boring Game of the Week, because it wasn't a week one tradition.
No.
It started roughly around – it should have, yeah. It started roughly around week 8, and I sifted through all the madness, all the boring games, my picks. So some of my picks I wanted to share just because they didn't end up being boring. For example, week 16, Cincinnati at Miami.
Oh, that was an entertaining game.
On paper, it looked terrible.
Looks like an atrocity.
It looked like a tank match, right? Went to overtime, 38-35 Miami win. What a great bout, okay? Another one. Arizona, Tampa Bay, that's one of my boring games of the year. But I may not have my boring game of the year in one of my picks that I said this year.
Oh.
My final four picks.
What are your final four?
My nominees for the Upon Further Review Boring Game of the Year.
A truly prestigious honor.
The four options were Week 1, Green Bay Packers at Chicago Bears, a 10-3 game. Truly a boring matchup. Nobody expected it to be, but not the way you want to start a new NFL season either. Week 8, Miami Dolphins at Pittsburgh Steelers on Monday Night Football. No Big Ben, no James Conner. Awful. Week 10, Kyler Murray visits the interception-happy Jameis Winston. Some people assume that's entertaining, you know, the back-and-forth affair. I thought it was going to be boring. 27-30, Bucks win. And then a Week 11 matchup between the New York Jets and the Washington Redskins. Everything about that game makes me want to puke.
Except the presence of Donald Ward Penn on the left side.
Puke.
Oh, you don't mean that.
But
those are your final four?
Those are my final four.
All right, before you announce it, this was a big deal for this podcast. And so we thought, should we get champagne? Should we do something to celebrate? But then we're like, we're celebrating boring. We're celebrating ugh.
Yeah.
So we decided we didn't deserve champagne. So we have the finest cider here. Now, I won't announce the name of the cider since they're not giving us any money, clearly. But we're going to have a little toast. A little toast for the boring game of the year.
It deserves it.
It does.
And I don't know if you noticed, by the way, I wrote my my boring game of the week picks on a what the F am I doing notepad just to go along with what the F was the NFL doing scheduling these horrible
these
games.
Atrocities. We are now cracking this bottle of sparkling cider. Anything for a bit, right? Now, KMM, I also provided some champagne glasses. Trev and Maya, would you pull these over, please? Thank you. Thank you. Now, before you announce, Kyle.
Yes.
Was the, did it surprise you, the boring game of the year?
You know what? I don't think it did, just because I've kind of always known you, in the bottom of my heart.
In your heart of hearts.
But I think it's one of those where you just don't, I don't know. You kind of hope for something else.
Yeah.
You kind of hope for something a little bit better.
But you didn't get it, did you?
I didn't. I sure didn't, Eddie. So, without further ado, my KMM boring game of the year is the Chicago Bears versus the Green Bay Packers on Thursday Night Football to start the 2019 season.
Oh, there it is. There it is, Trav. You're putting in the applause. Incredible. So a quick cheers, KMM, to the boring game of the year. We did it. Blessings to you. Blessings to all the terrible games the NFL scheduled. And we'll be back next year.
Yeah, we will.
Cheers, boys.
Quick sip.
It's kind of hard to drink them with the headphones on.
Yeah,
or the
it gets
headset
in the way.
On.
I want to give the people a reason why it was the boring game of the year.
Yeah,
though.
Hit me.
Aside from the fact that it kicked off the season on a terrible note and a 10-3 finish on prime time.
This was the first game of the year,
was
it not?
This was the very first one.
God.
Third down efficiency. These teams combined for 5 for 27 on third down. Each team had only, roughly 11 first downs per game. No team finished with more than 254 total yards. And
what was old Mitchell Trubisky's line from this game? I'm just curious.
Mitchell Trubisky had 208 yards passing. Aaron Rodgers had 166 yards passing.
God.
The Packers averaged 3.7 yards per play. The Bears averaged 3.9 yards per play. 5 sacks from each team. They both rushed for under 48 yards. The Packers rushed for 47 yards, and the Bears rushed for 46 yards. Just an absolutely despicable matchup. Each team had 10 penalties each. It was terrible.
That is sickening.
And one of those teams is the number 2 seed now.
Yep. And what did the Packers finish? 12-4, 13-3?
Yeah, something like that.
It's amazing.
What do I tell you about week one all the time, though? Week one is the weirdest. Anything you see week one is not indicative of what you're going to see for the rest of the year.
Without a doubt. I will miss the boring game of the week.
But we're bringing it. But we're gonna resurrect it, right?
Sure. Yes. Yes.
Just not NFL games, obviously.
Yeah. We will. We'll. I told you we should make hats.
Yeah, we'll do that.
There's some people clamoring on Twitter for a hat.
We'll do it.
But
so next week when we get back in the lab, you'll have a boring game of the week in terms of
the NBA, entire
sports spectrum.
Hacky.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone really care.
Well, we'll keep it alive.
Okay.
But then once the season rolls around, you'll be back in your zone of football boring game of the week.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Maybe an opening weekend for a movie. What movie do I not want to see?
Oh, that's good. Boy, we got a lot of things.
Yeah. There's a lot of boring stuff in this world.
Yeah.
You got to make it fun on your own, though.
That's true.
It's all a matter of perspective, Eddie. How do you look at things? What's your positivity at?
Oh, well, today, not that high, but yeah, maybe that'll change. So let's get into it. Let's get into the picks real quick. Let's start. So real quick, before we get the picks for this week, a quick standings update. KMM, you are leading the picks.
Yeah, you all mocked me.
I did mock you. I wouldn't say you're crushing it. You're 2-2.
500. That's all that matters.
So you're 2-2. Me, Walks, and Travi are at a strong 1-3.
And why am I at 2-2, Eddie?
Well, because you picked the Titans.
I sure did. Nobody picked them except me.
I did text you, though, right as soon as that game ended.
Travis
said,
did
you called
text
it,
me.
Man.
It is really funny, though, because Walks was texting me during that game, and I was like, dude, how quickly is KMM going to chime in and just be like, oh, you know, look at me. And I said, I'll put the over-under at 7.5 minutes, and he took the over, and you came in under. Remember, you just sent me just the emoji with the shades on.
I did.
Nothing more. And I was like, you are a real rascal.
Well, I mean, I had to.
You had to. Have we figured out our punishment yet, by the way?
I don't think we have.
Should we ask the people if they have any suggestions?
Yeah, that'd be fun. That's always a good
idea. Yeah. If you guys have suggestions for what our punishment for the picks pool should be, either call the line. What's our line, Travi? 510-780-3259. Or tweet at us. Once again, that's 510-780-3259. Call the Beat Lab, leave a message, say what our punishment should be for last place in the picks. So, KMM, as we enter the divisional round of the playoffs, let's start it off. First game, Saturday, 1:30. Ooh, this is a good one. Vikings-Niners. Who you got?
Oh, Vikings-Niners? Boy, oh boy. In my heart, I thought they were going to play the Seahawks. I don't know why I thought that.
Well, that's incorrect, so...
I'm going to be bold. I'm going to say a divisional round exit for the San Francisco 49ers, woo! Baby.
Came in with the Vikings. Travi, who you got?
Well, I was just reading that, I guess, Adam Thielen's questionable.
Oh, boy. See, that was my factor. I don't know if I want that now.
But I'm going to go with you, Kyle. I'm picking the Vikings on that because, you know, just out of spite.
Well, I will join you on the spite train as I am also taking the Vikings. Big blessings to my guy over there, a true legend, the great Peter Volmet, one of my close personal friends on the Niners PR staff. But Pete, baby, you know I'm not picking you this week. You know that.
Sure.
I can't, I shan't, and I won't. But there is one man in our picks pool who did elect to take the Niners. Let us boo that man. That man is Matt Walks.
Boo.
So boo.
Are we ever going to get him in here to do his picks?
I don't know, man. You know how he is. So we got 3 Vikings and a Niners. Interesting.
Is Dalvin's healthy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Dalvin's Gucci, baby.
Okay,
Dalvin's
all right. I just want to make sure.
Second game, the nightcap on Saturday, if you will. Tennessee at Baltimore.
Give me the MVP. Give me Lamar Jackson.
KMM has Lamar. Travi?
I'll take Baltimore also.
Well, my heart tells me that Baltimore will win. But if you recall, I did make a rather outlandish claim earlier in the season saying that the Ravens would not win a playoff game.
You did say that.
And I'm going to stick to my guns and say that they will lose. They will take that L to the mighty Titans of Tennessee.
We're getting spicy.
Do I think that's going to happen? Probably not, but I'm a man of my word, and I proclaimed this months ago, and I got to stick to my guns and say, you know what? Titans are gonna shock the world.
If the
again.
Titans do win, I want you to send me just a sunglasses emoji.
I'll send you just a shades emoji. Walks, no shocker here, is taking his ancestral home, Charm City. There he's taking the Ravens.
Yeah, he's big Baltimore guy.
Big, the biggest Baltimore, maybe the only Baltimore guy, from someone who's not actually from
Baltimore. Yeah.
Baltimore. That's a whole another conversation. So we move on to Sunday. Chiefs play host to the Titans. Not Titans, excuse me. Chiefs play host to the Texans.
Oh, give me the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Give me the Chiefs. Give me the Pat Daddy. He's going to be slanging that thing.
Yeah, Travi?
It's going to be chilly there. I'll take the Chiefs.
I will also take the Chiefs, unfortunately, as much as I wish to spite them, but Chiefs for me as well. And we round it out on Sunday in what I think is probably going to be the best game of the four. Seahawks, Packers, Lambeau Field, Sunday afternoon.
That's tough. I like both teams.
I do too.
I'm going to go. Russell Wilson continues to make plays where you just scratch your head and be like, how did he do that? But I think you can do the same with Aaron Rodgers. And obviously Aaron Rodgers has quite the arm. I think they're healthier than the Seahawks are. I mean, love Marshawn, but they had to bring in Marshawn because their first three running backs all got hurt. I'm going to go with the Packers.
Travi?
I got to go Packers.
I really, really, really thought about going Seahawks. I love Russ. I think he's a cheese ball. I think he's a top 10 phony baloney, but he's one hell of a quarterback.
Yeah.
And there's something special that happens when this man gets in the tournament. It's going to be cold. It just seems like a Russell Wilson, he's going to black out and throw for 500 yards, rush for another 110. And I
You wanted to pick the Seahawks, but now it sounds like you do want to pick the Seahawks.
I can't though. I want
you could
I
get
want
back
to.
In the lead though. Just think about it. Or you could be tied with Kyle if it all plays out.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's remaining games. You're going to have to make a move here at some point.
I'm being pretty spicy already by taking the Titans. If I lose the Titans and if I were to take the Seahawks, I would be in last place, and it could get nasty. I'm going to play it safe for one more week. Packers.
All right. Well, you're only going to have two picks next week.
Yeah.
And then one pick after that.
All
Are we
right.
picking the Pro Bowl too?
No, oh, I'm not going to watch the Pro Bowl, please.
The East-West Shrine Game.
The Senior Bowl. Our close personal friend Jim Nagy.
Your close personal friend.
Oh, you don't mean that. He's a kind man.
Sure.
I can't do it, man. I gotta take the Packers. I gotta do it. I'm gonna regret it because in my heart of hearts, I have this premonition of Russ getting crazy and weird, but
it's Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly. Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau.
Yeah.
Like,
who did Wox pick?
Oh, excuse me. That's a great – yeah, let me completely forgot about old MG Wox. Wox – ooh, spicy boy. Wox took the Seahawks.
So he went Niners-Seahawks when we went the other side.
Yeah. It's going to get
– So if we lose our picks and he gets those two right, he could leapfrog me for the lead.
By a single point,
yes.
I believe, yeah.
Oh, boy.
It's getting spicy.
Yeah, it sure is.
Getting spicy. But, oh, yeah, we both picked Vikings. I was going to say I could also do the same thing. So I could technically end up tying you this week, right?
Yeah, if the Titans win, which they won't.
All right, well, I still believe. Well, KMM, you did it. We made your boring game of the year a blessing, a celebration. We cracked a six-pack. We drank some chilled, sparkling cider, which is actually delightful. I wish that this company that we're using would give us some money. Because I would drink this.
Yeah, they could send
all
me
day,
a case
baby.
Of that.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Speaking of, it's kind of funny. Did you get, it's won six awards. That's very impressive. Although none of those, it hasn't won an award since 1914. So it's been over 100 years since it won an award. You guys, dry January, guys?
No, I can't say yes because I've already had some booze. So
yeah.
I wanted to, but.
Nah, yeah, I'm with you. It's one of those things that sounds good in practice, or in principle, not practice. You know what I mean?
I'm pretty good about just not drinking during the week.
Yeah, I try to go Sunday to Thursday. So. But once, I mean, so, boy, once midnight strikes tonight.
Let it flow.
Yeah, the fiance's been pretty funny because she got really upset about all of this this dry January talk. So she's been going with wet January, she calls it. So she she's been drinking, I don't know if I can say it, she's been drinking more than, not like in an unhealthy way, but she's like, yeah, she's like, all these people are phonies. All these people are phonies.
I respect that.
So she just like, last night had a big glass of wine after dinner, just crushing it, doesn't care.
Have you seen the, it's like a wine cork, but it's a wine glass. So like these little cups that we have.
Yeah.
You'd cut off like the stem here and you'd stick it in a wine bottle and you just drink straight out of the wine bottle. Have you seen those?
I have not, because I don't have a drinking problem.
I'm not saying I do either. I'm just saying I've seen them.
Oh, sure, sure.
They look...
Those targeted ads, I'm sure, when you pop on IG.
Oh, God. Targeted ads are the worst. Anyway.
Yeah, anyways. Well, we're out of here. Good sewed. Feeling strong. Feeling all right.
Yeah.
And we will be back next week, right, Travi? Same time, same place. And by when we get in here next week, we should reveal our Super Bowl plans. Because everything is being booked right now. We're past the planning stage. Now everything is being executed. So when we jump back in the lab next Thursday, we're going to have some pretty, pretty cool news for you guys. So until next week, for Eddie Pascal, producer Trav, the great KMM, engineer Jim, and everyone else who helps us go from A to Z on this silly little program that we do, we thank you humbly, deeply, and sincerely. And we will see you guys next week on Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network.